This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Seems to be written, seems to be how to appear to be a caring person, how to appear, and it's all about technique. And I think that's a corollary to this thing on civics. We're not talking about who we need to become as people. We're saying, how do I appear to be empathetic when I hate the person's guts, or how do you work with a boss you hate? I mean, there's a lot of issues in that whole thing.
Howard Self with the Universal Peace Federation. I really appreciated your comments about extremism. And in some of the work we're doing in the interfaith area, especially the Middle East Peace Initiative that we're working on, we hear this kind of comment often from other faiths, but it actually applies to all. And this comment is that if the moderate Muslims would just speak out and defend their faith, represent their faith, then a lot of the problems of the radicals would be dissipated. And I just would love to hear your comments about that kind of comment, knowing that in the media, extremism sells and moderates usually don't have a voice. But this is something we hear quite often.
I would say that we've been involved in so many initiatives that are just ignored by the media.
Right.
I was at the Topkapi. I was part of one of those. I signed the Topkapi Declaration, the Amman Declaration. Recently, I was a signatory on the letter to the Pope. These are all major voices in the Muslim world that are doing these. BBC picked it up. I got calls from BBC. They wanted radio interviews. They talked to academics at Cambridge about the significance of this. And yet, in the United States, almost nothing. And so we've all been left a little bewildered as to why these voices are just not amplified. It's very important. I would say that we have Dr. Saeed here. There, many of the most prominent Muslim leaders in this country, and he's among them, Imam Majid is among them, Imam Sanusi, have been, I think, unrelentingly condemning. And I think part of the problem is we're a disenfranchised community. I really want to drive home the point. I'm not guilty of anything. I've never been a violent person. I don't like violence. Self-defense is part of my religion, but even self-defense is always, my mother is a bit of a pacifist, so even self-defense is always, I've always kind of thought that, if push comes to shove, or Bush comes to shove, or whatever, I tend to rather just be like the first son of Ibn Adam mentioned in the Quran. If you raise your hand to kill me, I'm not going to raise my hand to kill you, because I fear God, the Lord of the worlds. And that verse is mentioned in the Quran. It's immediately followed by a verse that, and for that reason, we have written in the Talmud, in the Jewish tradition, that if you kill one life, it's as if you've killed all of humanity. It's an immense thing to take a person out of the world, because if we believe in the narrative of the Abrahamic faith, every single person since Adam and Eve participated in the creation of that individual. And so there is an element that's as if you're taking all of those people out of the world by removing that genetic pool, if you want to look at it like that, just from the world. And it's an immense thing. So I don't feel like we have to be defending all the time and just telling people, oh, we're not. This is a minority of people in our community. They have nothing to do with my religion. I don't want to be associated with them. I don't want to have to be defending my religion against these people. I really believe enfranchisement is when somebody does something to from your community that's heinous, and the whole community's not attacked for it. We have people. If somebody said yesterday to Dr. Saeed, "What are you going to do if there's another major attack on America?" And I'm like, "Well, what are you going to do? What do you expect me to do? I'll probably run and hide." Why do I have to be blamed for this? I don't have anything to do with it. My children don't. My wife's a Mexican-American. So I really want to drive that point home. If the police say that somebody who was 6 feet tall committed a crime, And then, you know, you go out the next morning and see some guy 6 feet tall and tap him on the shoulder. What's wrong with you people? You know, I mean, we'd say that was insane.
Can I just chime in here? Because I've studied this and thought about this question a lot. I'm on the board of Morehouse College, which is the great institution in Atlanta that Martin Luther King attended, et cetera, et cetera. And it's interesting. I'm on the board as a minority. I think those of us in this room that are coming that kind of look like me, many times we've not been in a minority status. And I think it's real different when you kind of don't have the numbers. And I think a lot of Christians in this country don't realize what it's like when you're a small community to step up and say certain things. I'm not excusing anything here. I'm just saying, as I'm in a minority on that board, I'm aware it's sometimes harder for me to say some things because I've never been in that position before. But I'd say one great thing for all of us is find ways that you can be the minority, because it gives you an entirely different perspective on everything.
You know, let's get folks in here. Yes, sir?
I have a question. Coming off of this comment about what modern Muslims are doing today, and coming off of your comment about how we don't get heard in the media, do you think that maybe at some point in time that maybe we need to look at ourselves and maybe change our game plan? I mean, maybe we're not going about the right thing. I mean, I think if we all understand high power politics, obviously, yeah, I mean, I don't want to get in depth on it. I think we all understand why we're not getting heard. So what I mean, so doesn't that mean that as moderate Muslims, we need to change our game plan? I think, I mean, my question is, I guess, I mean, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror first, and we have to fix at what is at our core, and take that modernism towards over. I mean, use what this country gives us, and fix, you know, ourselves first before we fix, you know, something here that's really far fetched. You know, I guess it's like, why, you know, why isn't there like a movement, like a strong powered central movement as Muslims to carry a strong nonviolence movement, you know, that, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King carried and Gandhi carried. I don't know.
I think you more than made your point. I think you more than made your point. Yeah.
Can I add one thought? I think to humanize things is great. Like, who's our friend that we know that is the filmmaker, the Muslim filmmaker that is doing the prints?
Alex.
Great guy. But what was amazing to me, this one film thing he did recently, there was a piece in there with a family debating with their daughter about wearing the scarf. And I said, this is so awesome, because every family, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of families that don't have the scarf issue, but they're debating tattoos and all that. I think when you allow that humanity to say we're all wrestling with stuff in our families in life is important. And one of Mon Maji told me one time that they have one of the largest Cub Scout, Boy Scout troops in the country. All of a sudden, you're humanizing things. So I'm saying, as an outsider to your community, that humanity really matters, because you have a lot of people talking theological things about Islam and all that, which I think is wonderful. But there needs to be an understanding. There's a lot of human things going on, and we're all pretty much alike in the struggles we have as human beings on this planet. So that's just a thought as an outsider. Kind of.
You know, I've been, for the last 6 years, I've been on average away from my home, my 5 children, 7 months out of the year, talking to Muslims, trying to, I don't know. I really feel like the vast majority of Muslims are very peaceful people. They're decent people. They're good people. And I really feel they are getting such a rotten deal in this whole thing. If you start adding up the numbers, you know, of how many Muslims have been killed in the last 6 years, you know, and look at how many people from other faiths have been killed. I mean, the numbers are pretty frightening, people. You know, I mean, the Muslims are just wondering why everybody's calling them violent. You know, we've got hundreds of thousands of Muslims that are dead, you know, that had mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, and they're dead because of this war on terror, which to me is akin to killing a fly on a Ming vase with a sledgehammer. You know, I just really feel that the whole way that we've gone about this thing has been insane. And if you're wondering why Muslims are upset, well, I, you know, just look at a lot of what's going on. I, you know, if you want to quote the New Testament, one of my favorite verses is, you know, before you condemn the speck in your brother's eye, pull the 2x4 out of your own eye. You know, I tend, it's a very profound meaning, you know, to really look at yourselves. And I agree with you, Muslims have to look at themselves, but I think we here in this country have to look at ourselves as well. And sometimes it's painful to look at yourself in the mirror. If you're vain and proud, you tend to use the mirror to look at how beautiful you think you are. But the mirror is there to show you your blemishes and show you your faults. And the only way you can do that is with humility. And hubris is the last phase in the decline and fall. That's when it gets really well. Ate is actually, but hubris precedes it. So pride before the fall.
You know, I wanted to keep my mouth sort of at a minimum here, but the young man's question was such a good one, I thought that I wanted to say, make a few remarks. One is, never doubt that you are the solution to the problem that you've identified. I mean, you know, you got us three up here saying, well, where's our movement? Well, maybe you're supposed to be leading the movement. Let's get together and talk about that. I mean, the fact is, you know, sometimes we gotta get everybody engaged in and finding their own leadership potential. And also, let me just say this, you know, I'm on the Financial Services Committee and I'm on the Judiciary Committee. In my opinion, between, don't get mad here, but I'm just gonna call out some names, but between MAS, CARE, ISNA, MANA, IMPACT, keep coming, give me some more, ICNA, come on, who else?
Zaytuna,
absolutely Zaytuna. There ought to be somebody in all these committee hearings having something to say. Somebody ought to be at every committee hearing saying, well, what about trying to fund alternative dispute resolution in Al-Quds University in Jerusalem?
Can we do that here at the same time?
Well, you know what? Yes, but let's not say we can't do this until we do that. We have to do this, then we gotta do that. It's not, life's not sequential that way. I mean, we have to do it all at the same time. You know, the thing is that, you know, so we need a stronger presence. We can start that today. We need a stronger media. We need to have people who do action in connection with scholars like at this table, so that we're well informed. You know, and we need the people to write. I mean, thank God for, you know, people like, I don't want to name any names because I'm going to leave somebody out, but there's a growing body of literature out there, and we need more of that, and we need more of it on the interfaith question. So that's my little commercial. Hopefully I won't say too much more than that. Right over here.
Well, I mean, my point simply was that extremism, you know, every moral philosopher talks about, at least the virtue ethicists, beginning with Aristotle probably, talk about trying to find the mean, that it's very difficult to find the mean, that most people fall on these extremes of the mean. And so living a virtuous life is about finding that balance, which is very difficult. And the self-inclined, we have obesity problems because people are extreme in their eating habits. We have sexual problems because people are extreme in their lust. The seven deadly sins are all about capitulating to extremes in behavior. And humans have a lot of trouble with being balanced, with finding balance in their lives. And we've got to go to the self-help bookstore and just look at all the books about trying to find balance. So that's my point, is that this idea that extremism, I feel we're all extreme in something. I mean, everybody, there's people here that I'm sure are extreme text messengers. I don't do that, but I'm seeing people all the time, like, you know, they're going to hurt their thumb. You know, he's doing it under the table, like, text messages. I mean, that's how bad it's getting. You know, there's extreme icons, people that haven't talked to people in a long time because they're just plugged into a different world. So my point is that extremism is human behavior. Violence is one aspect of extremism. And so I think when you identify the problem as extremism and not recognize that the real problem is that one manifestation of extremism, what you're doing is you're harming all these other people that might appear to you to be extreme, but from their point of view, the Amish think we're the extreme ones. And I think in the